Chance for rain today and tomorrow. Then it clears out and cools off a little bit. Highs in the lower 80s, and the humidity is going to be down, so it should feel a little bit nicer. Pat Connick joins us now, Louisiana State Senator, to talk about Louisiana's new laws on labeling foreign seafood. How you doing, Senator?
Doing great, Tommy. Good morning.
I saw this story in the Illuminator about some testing that happened at the Louisiana Shrimp and Petroleum Festival in Morgan City. 4 out of 5 vendors evaluated serving foreign shrimp passed off as local. I know there's a big concern of yours. I know we've had some legislation that's passed to kind of prevent this kind of thing. Tell me what's going on here.
It's shocking, but it's not shocking. Like I said in the article, Wes Miller with the Louisiana Illuminated wrote a great story. You know, the shrimpers are hurting in Louisiana. The shrimp industry is dying, basically. These guys go out, spend a lot of money, catch shrimp, 10, 16 pound per pound shrimp. They get 90 cents at the dock, and they can't afford it. And the reason why that's taking place is because the cheap imports have flooded the market. All the warehouse space that we have in the state is full of imported shrimp. And there's no room for our domestic product. And when that happens, the price drops. But when you look at the product that's coming in from India and all these other countries, they're being repackaged and relabeled as a Louisiana-type product. And it's deceptive, and that's what's happening, and that's what we're trying to stop, you know?
I don't understand how that can happen. Is it just flagrantly flaunting the law?
You know, the shrimp comes in from foreign countries, and the FDA only tests a small percentage of the shrimp imports, you know? I think there's a 2020 study by LSU that found 2/3 of the shrimp imports tested were contaminated. Yet this is coming in, and dealers are repackaging as, you know, Cajun land or Le Bon Temps Roulet. But when you look at the label, you know, it has a Louisiana symbol on it. Mm-hmm. But when you turn it over, it says, you know, product of China, a product of Vietnam, product of Ecuador or India. You know, by law, we cannot stop imported seafood, but we can stop imported seafood from being sold as seafood coming from the Gulf of Mexico and Louisiana. And that's the law that was passed. It goes into effect on January 1st, 2025, and there's some penalties that go with that.
Whose purview is it I don't understand how you can send shrimp over from India and they remain fresh or they remain whatever it is. They got to treat them with something. I don't understand how they can do that and how they can even compete with shrimp that come right out of the Gulf. I guess that's what confuses me.
It's an inferior product. The problem with the shrimp that's from overseas, that's farm-raised, it's contaminated. They use antibiotics so the shrimp don't die, and they freeze them. And they come across in the frosted, and they put in the containers that you see in the stores, and people buy them. They think they buy Louisiana shrimp, and it's not. I mean, I represent shrimpers in Lafitte and Grand Isle. Dean Blanchard is a good friend of mine. He has a shrimp dock in Grand Isle, and he's about to close down. It's just because they cannot compete with the stuff coming in from overseas. But the sad part about this and the thing that's so wrong is that the stuff's coming overseas are being packaged with our labels that from the culture of Louisiana, mm-hmm. the Gulf of Mexico. And that's the deception that we have we put laws in to stop. And it's going to be some penalties that's going to be coming forward. Like if an importer, mislabels a package, they can be fined $15,000 to $50,000 a pop. Restaurants that say they have they serve in the U.S. you know, caught seafood and they serve in foreign shrimp can be fined $200 to $500 per violation. Before it was a slap on the wrist, but you know, there's some penalties that go along with this new law. Hopefully, we can, you know, we can't stop the foreign imports from coming in, and we can't stop people from buying foreign imports. But we can make sure when people are buying the shrimp, they know where they come from. And that's what we're trying to do here.
We can't, as a state, say, you know what, you can't sell shrimp from India in this state. You can't sell shrimp from wherever in this state. You can't do that?
It's federal law. It's the Commerce Clause. I think there was a law. There were some laws passed in Louisiana early on in 2020, you know, like maybe 20 years ago. there was a federal lawsuit and the state lost. But I used that lawsuit, I used the ruling from that court to draft language in this law to make sure that it would pass, you know, any scrutiny. Going, if someone sues over the new law we passed, we will win based on the way it's written.
When it comes to restaurants, do you find that there's the primary problem is locally owned restaurants or chain restaurants or what?
It goes across the board, Tommy. You know, we want to work with the Restaurant Association, and we did work with the Restaurant Association with this legislation. They had a major role in drafting it. They know that this is a problem, you know, and they know that they can't deceive the public. You saw what happened in Biloxi with Mary Mahoney's restaurant. Mm-hmm. They were selling red snapper as coming from the Gulf when it was foreign. And that's a violation of a federal law with what they were doing. And I think some folks are going to jail over there. But the whole purpose is for the public to understand what are they buying. Is it an import or is it a domestic caught Louisiana shrimp? Don't bring in an import that's inferior and contaminated and pass it off as a Louisiana product. And that's wrong. You know, put all the Chinese labeling on it and see how much you sell for that. They can't do that. So they use our culture and our heritage and to make a profit, you know, on the backs of our shrimpers.
I want to pick it up here when we come back because, you know, in every market you got supply and you got demand, right? So if we would eliminate the demand, or if we could educate people enough to eliminate the demand, well, then maybe, you know, that would stop the supply part of it. We'll talk more when we come back. I also want to talk about the governor's proposed tax plan, and I think it might be a little bit of a, you know, what is it, post-hoc ergo propter hoc to say that the only reason Louisiana's losing population is because of the tax base, a tax structure. I think that's a stretch, but we'll talk more about it when we come back. Senator Pat Connick, our guest, Louisiana State Senator, talking about mislabeling of seafood, and I wouldn't eat that stuff from India. I really don't, and we will talk more about checking the packages and what you need to look for, because you do have to look closely. Pat talked about the appropriation of culture, and it is. They make that package look like it's from Louisiana, but it is not. 720, traffic now, WWL. 725 and a half, Tommy Tucker, WWL, back with State Senator Pat Connick talking about Louisiana and what seafood and testing at the Louisiana Shrimp and Petroleum Festival that showed 4 out of 5 vendors were serving foreign shrimp passed off as local. Pat, I was talking about, you know, educating people. I don't want to eat any of that stuff. If I wouldn't use sheetrock from another country or you know the problems that we've had with that, why would you eat anything from there? With that being said, if we could just cut down the demand on this where people wouldn't buy it and it would go unsold and then they'd have to get rid of it, maybe stores would stop carrying it. Some of the ways to make sure that you're buying Louisiana seafood?
It's just, you know, people need to know what they're buying, and right now you don't know. I mean, it's insane that at the Louisiana Shrimp and Petroleum Festival, they're selling, you know, shrimp from India, you know, and then how can the locals compete with that? The whole purpose of the legislation that we passed is to educate, make sure that the people who are selling identify where the shrimp are coming from. If it's local, you know, put it up there. And if it's foreign, make sure we know about it. The law requires a certain font in a certain type setting, and that goes into effect in January 1st, 2025. I think the retailers wanted that delayed implementation of the law to allow what they had in stock to go out. But, you know, Louisiana is full of foreign shrimp, and it's hurting our shrimpers.
Is there any way to for the state to put a tariff on foreign seafood? No, huh?
This is all federal law. I think there's some bills in Washington, D.C. to try to do something to raise the tariffs, but none of that has taken place. You know, these stores who sell this stuff, it's a cheap product, and they make up a higher margin on it. The restaurants want to, you know, they buy low and then sell high. But, you know, it's, if they cannot deceive the public of, I can't tell you, Tommy, I'm serving you a shrimp caught from the Gulf of Mexico at my restaurant, and when it's from India. But people are doing that now. And you know, that's what the law is trying to design to stop and fix it.
Let's talk real quick about the governor's tax plan and what is special session, all that stuff. You've had a chance to look any of it over, Pat?
Listen, I got in the mail 2 days ago a book about 3 inches long, inches wide, that I have not had the chance to go through. I know some of the stuff that's in it. They want to eliminate a bunch of the tax credits.
Right.
That's on the table. Consolidate a bunch of accounts. You know, put a flat tax in that's going to go at like 3% across the board and give credits to some folks who are low income. I think something has to give. We need to do something. I'm willing to listen, and I'm willing to make some tough votes to make the change needed in the state to be more competitive. Right now, our system is really, you know, convoluted the way we do things here. So hopefully we can eliminate some of that and move forward. And I'm excited about it, Tommy. I don't want to go back to Baton Rouge in November for a special session, but I will.
Yeah.
And I'm ready to make some tough votes.
Thank you. Appreciate your time, Senator. Senator Pat Connick, fellow Shaw graduate. We'll take a break. We come back, we're going to talk to Adam Knapp, CEO of the Committee for 100, to continue conversation about Governor Landry calling for a special session on tax reform and to address looming fiscal cliff. We'll see what the Committee of 100 for Economic Development would like to see lawmakers like State Senator Pat Connick do. Then we'll talk to Representative Mandy Landry, Democrat, to check in with her to see how she's feeling about the special session on tax reform. So a lot coming up. Stay with us right now. Time for WWL First News. For that, we go to Dave Cohen. All right, 7:45, 16 till 7. Quickly to Adam Knapp, CEO of the Committee for 100. How you doing, Adam?
Doing great. Thanks for having me.
Good to have you back. I got an executive summary here, 10 pages from the Committee of 100, Louisiana Fiscal Reform Framework for the Future. Pat Connick just now on with us, Senator Connick, saying he got it, a binder with the governor's plan, 3 inches thick. He's going through that. This is complicated stuff. First of all, is the Committee of 100, the executive summary that I got, is that in lockstep with the governor's plan, or are those suggestions that the governor is going to borrow from? Take me through that.
Yeah, so we actually did that project 10 years ago. That was a 2015
really?
Study that we did.
So
we hired a group called the Tax Foundation that the governor has been quoting quite a bit to tell us, hey, if Louisiana wanted to make an ideal tax structure competitive for business investment, what would that look like? And this nonprofit group, the Tax Foundation, that really studies state tax structures, wrote this, what is a lengthy report of what to do with income tax, franchise tax, you name it. And really what's interesting and why it's great that you have that is we looked at this a decade ago, and a lot of what was said in the Tax Foundation's report back then, independent of us, is what we see a lot of the ideas coming forward from the administration. Getting rid of a lot of credits and exemptions that are loopholes in the tax structure to try to use that to lower the overall rates. As you said, it's really complicated, but at the heart of it, that's what the governor's trying to think through and Secretary Nelson is trying to think through.
And the top line mentions the 2015. In my own mind's eye, I don't think of that as almost a decade ago, but it is, and that's just how time flies. Adam, how can you, explain in the best way maybe some of the highlights or some of the best or the things you would like to see the legislature? Well, first off, let me tell me about the Committee for 100 for people that don't know what that is, because it sounds like a group that would round up people and put them in a re-education camp, and it's not.
It does strike one as sort of vaguely odd and secretive, right?
Yeah.
No, what it is, it's a group of nonpartisan executives from companies around the state, individuals who want to have an impact on the future of Louisiana, especially related to economic development. We've been at this for about 30 years in different ways to try to use senior executive leadership to really try to drive change for Louisiana and improve things. And there are members all over Louisiana, from New Orleans to Shreveport, parts in between, who have an interest in the future of the state. So what we did, this actual report was done, commissioned by our membership, like I said, like whatever that is, 9 years ago, to try to really dig into the complex issues of tax reform. It's been talked about a million times, studied it ad nauseum, and we thought, let's just try to get it all in one place. What I think is relevant today is this is not new stuff that the administration is trying to dig into. And while it feels like it may be afresh because they're bringing it forward, and we're just starting to get some of the details of what they want to do, they've been working on this based on a lot of the input that's come forward over the last really almost two decades, but especially since our report was done. It just gets really complicated, as you said, when you try to write it into law, that you get this, you know, 3-inch thick binder that's being shared of all the bills that try to make these changes happen.
You say back 9 years ago, a lot of things, technically, technology, the economy has changed, I think, in the last 9 years. Is that report still, I know you said it was no new, I guess, old stuff that's been around for a long time, however you phrased it. I don't mean to denigrate the report at all.
No, that's right. So the biggest things that have changed, Tommy, is that what the services are that have come into the marketplace that are sometimes not part of what's being taxed. For example, they're talking about how do you expand some of the sales tax that we pay to some of the goods that are newer, digital goods, software as a service that now wasn't really as prominent 10 years ago, things like we use Netflix streaming services. Those are all part of how we used to get movies at and pay sales tax on a DVD rental, but they don't do that on the same movie streams. So what they're trying to use is all these changes to help reduce the overall income tax rates. And I think that's admirable. It makes us more competitive. The devil's in the details, though. And we really want to make sure that we have a role as our organization to review the details and try to advise them on whether both the numbers look right that they're using, but also that they get the tax policy right from a competitiveness standpoint. And a lot of companies have a lot of complicated different things that get hit by different taxes or tax breaks, and so we want to understand what those look like.
All right, let me take a break. We'll pick it up. We come back talking about the governor's plan for a special session and what tax reform could look like. Adam Knapp is our guest, CEO of the Committee for 100. If you have any questions, comments, 504-260-1870. That's the Oakland Art Jeweler Talk and Text Line. More when we come back. Time now for traffic on WWL. 7:54, 6 till 7. Tommy Tucker, 6 till 8. Tommy Tucker, WWL, back with Adam Knapp, CEO of the Committee for 100, talking about a plan to reform the state's tax code. I see a tweet from Jan Mulder of Louisiana Budget Project saying that these are things that are going to be taxed, and I'm just going to read some of them. And you mentioned Netflix before, short-term rentals, ticket sales, including fees, printing, copying, and I'm just picking here, car washes, interior design, decorating. Personal marina services, personal fitness training, quilting, tanning. I don't know. The only reason I bring it up, wrecking and towing, is for those that would say, Adam, that this is not really revamping the code, but just shifting taxes or shifting the tax burden. What would you say to that?
Well, the governor said exactly that in his description of what his goals are and aims are in the tax reform structure. His goal is to reduce the income tax, which we've seen this be done in states like North Carolina, where they've shifted their tax structure to try to reduce their overall personal income tax rate and their corporate tax rate, as the governor described it, to try to put less of the tax structure on the work that we do in our work in the economy, and put more of it on our choices as we make purchases, and those are what you see in those sales taxes. What's interesting is that list of things that are kind of personal sales taxes that the governor would add are similar to ones that are taxed in Texas or in North Carolina or other states. They've kind of gone through this at the Department of Revenue to try to figure out what are things that are taxed in other sales taxes that aren't included in ours. But in it, they're also going to eliminate things like prescription drugs across the board for local and state taxes. As part of these trade-offs. So what's interesting to me, and I think is an important thing for listeners to we should all be doing, is seeing how it affects us across the entire spectrum of changes. So as you read something that might be added, look for what also might be removed or changed or lowered and see how that balance affects you. We've heard from Secretary Nelson at the Department of Revenue, who ran for governor, was a state rep from the North Shore. that they're going to put some sort of calculator that any individual can go and put in, you know, who they are, what they do, or not who they are, but some information about themselves, and it'll help, you know, give you a way to determine how it's going to affect each person.
A dashboard, kind of like, is that up already or not?
I don't think so. I think he said they're working on getting that up, and it should be up pretty soon. This is all planned to be deliberated in November, sometime between kind of the national election and when we all, you know, break for Thanksgiving. So this is going to be about the month of October is our month of let's get our hands, sleeves rolled up and our hands dirty, kind of understanding what the proposal is. And they're going to be talking about this really actively in the legislature in November.
States that don't have an income tax do have higher property taxes. Is that something that the Committee of 100 looked at or not?
We did not, and that is not part of what's being proposed today. The administration is not really sales tax or property taxes in Louisiana all go to local governments, not to the state. And so it really isn't part of a state tax reform structure.
So for people that are worried about their homestead exemption, that's a local concern, not a statewide concern?
It's in the Constitution, but that is untouched, is unchanged, and the administration made clear they're not doing anything to change the homestead exemption.
All right. Let me ask you quickly about tax credits and jobs and so forth. I think I was one of the first ones years ago to ask about film industry credits. Took a lot of heat for it because I was just wondering, on the back end, we're giving all these credits, but if you're not really making any money off of it, then you're kind of subsidizing the jobs, and you may as well be working for the state after you do it all, you know, at the bottom line. You know what I'm saying here, Adam?
It's a big and expensive program. Now, I think you're...
And I'm not just talking about film. I'm talking about in general tax credits.
Any of those.
Yeah.
That's right. And they're designed, and this is all across the country, they're designed to try to induce certain economic activity. In that case, they're trying to, you know, grow a film industry and the creative industry in the state that's been, you know, very active since that was created back in the early 2000s. Heavily influencing the economy in New Orleans, some in Baton Rouge and Shreveport, and other films around the state. It's going to be interesting to see how that debate rolls out. The administration's point, and it's worth debate, is these create special arrangements for certain industries to try to grow in the state, but don't benefit every business in the state or every individual in the state. If we could lower the overall rates by getting rid of some of these, would that be better for everybody?
I think
that's the debate that's about to happen.
Yeah, I think you have to look at it as, from the taxpayers, from the, you know, the Treasury, is it a net gain or loss, and go from there. Thank you, Adam. I appreciate your time. I know you come back and talk to us again about this. Adam Knapp, CEO of the Committee for 100. When we come back, we're going to talk to Mandy Landry, Louisiana State Representative, to get her take on this. She's a Democrat. And then we'll talk to Bryson Graham, General Manager of the Pelicans. You talk about a story. We're excited about carrying the games as well.